The husk of a thousand voices alert.
Hello and welcome to another huskcast.
I don't even know what accent it is. I'm so good at accents, I can do them. And have no idea. That might even be a new accent from nowhere on earth yet. Check that out. Thank you whoever voted me on Dig last week. That was most excellent. I'm on page 11 now of the comedy podcast. So there's only about probably 200 ahead of me. That is special. Awesome. Right, we've got some bad news this week. But it won't be that bad when you hear this little snippet. What a beautiful comic piece of music there. Should go around with that little bit of music to rap it random people. Take a bit of that. Of course, the music afterwards, which I will play, just makes you want to dance with your elbows out. The way you hear that, you don't think of the gruesome storylines of Grange Hill. You know, of the ferocious drug-taking and wig-wearing of Bronson. A beastie, well, it's awesome. Well, the bad news is, it's over. It's quit. And I heard rumours it was because instead of the gritty drug-related storylines and bullying and all that malarkey, the writers were, the big storyline series was a lost dog causing havoc in the school. And the original writer, Phil Redmond or someone, he said, "This is bullshit, man. I think it's time to end it with these kind of ripping storylines." Anyway, so put on your small trousers, your hat and blazer, and let's have a salute for Grange Hill, Bronson and Zamo and Tucker and Roland and all the gang. This is for them. Well, listen to that music again. Well, again for a long time. I like the little comb effect. Lovely jubbly, right? Well, I seem to have found a bit more to say about the subject. Here we go.
I read today that they're ending Grange Hill after 30 years. Now, that's fair enough because it's crap last time I saw it. If they'd have said that, we're changing it because it's crap. You'd think, fine, it is. You're right. Do it. Waited too long. But what they've chosen to say instead is, it's no longer relevant to children. How could it not be relevant? It's about a school and all children, unless they've been very naughty or the very few have home tutoring, go to bloody school. I mean, why don't you just change the writers? A bit more dramatic stuff about hoodies and stabbings, bones. Kids would love it. They're replacing it with some kind of mystical detective series. Because that's going to talk to children about their lives, isn't it? Because we're often having mystical detectives shenanigans at home after school.
Here I come to save the day. That means
a story
is on the way.
Hello, Hosking here. Hosking the Mythbuster. That's what they call me down on the streets of Birmingham. Look out, here comes Hosking the Mythbuster. Hey, Hosking, what myth are you going to bust today? I haven't got any. I think they think that rather than actually verbalise it. But, you know, I know, power of the people is on my side. Right, the myth. Today, I had something in my eye. Now, if you ever have anything in your eye, and sometimes you get these idiots who think they can come along and get that thing out of your eye. Now, eyes are very sensitive, and someone else touching them can't quite feel how sensitive they are. So if you have had this, I've had it, where they go, "Oh, let me, I'll help you," and all they do is they and then poke you in the eye. Oh, has that got it? No, you idiot, you've just poked me in the eye. How has that helped dislodge the bit of dirt or bloody eyelash by you wading in, poking me in the eye? In fact, you haven't made it better, you've made it worse. Now I've got sore eyes, well, there's something in the eye, you mother. You big fat sausage fingers poking people in the eye. Hey, what do you think you're doing? And usually once you've let someone do it once, that's it. No more. No more of the looky in the eye, pokey finger game. That's all over now. But in films, this is often used as a method of snogging a bird. Or a bloke. Not two blokes. Ugh, that'd be daft. I've never seen it with two blokes. It's always a man and a woman. But they go, oh, it's an eye. Then they'll have a look for a minute. And they'll go, oh, I can't really see where it is. I know, I'll take your mind off it and give you a bit of a tonguing. But in real life, it doesn't happen like that. Because if you've got something in the eye, the last thing you are thinking about is having a bloody passionate snog with someone. You're thinking, oh, just get this thing out of my eye. I'm in agony. And then if someone tries to snog you, get off! What are you doing? I've got something in my eye, and you're pouncing on me in my hour of weakness because I can only see with one eye, and you're trying to bloody put your tongue down my throat. Piss off! So that movie myth cliche, scrub it. Get rid of it. Hosk has busted it.
Wow!
Wow!
Woo! Woo! It's something you weren't expecting. Good evening, and today's news with Malcolm McDonald, brother of Trevor, son of Gerald, and no relation to Ronald. And today we shall be speaking to the Shadow Minister of Cash, Money, Finance. The Shadow Minister of Finance. We shall speak to the Liberal MP, Nigel Hattersby. Good evening. Now, people are scared that England is heading towards a recession. Do they have good reason to believe this? Or is it merely just media hyperbole? Yes, well, firstly, we must stay calm. Secondly, we need to keep spending as much money as possible. In effect, we can spend through or spend away the recession. Spend away the recession? How exactly do you advise to do this? The best way to boost the economy is spend. I believe the way to beat the recession is by using the three S's. Spend, spend, spend. And when you have done that, spend some more. And where do people get the money for these spending sprees? Credit cards, loans, spend now, worry later. That's what my father told me. Now, what are the dangers of such a policy like this? Well, some people will inevitably not be able to repay the loans, fall into debt, spiral and become bankrupt, allowing these people to rise up from the ruins like a phoenix from the flame, whilst people who avoid this will feel the benefit from the increased spending with the boom economy, growth in most sectors and the highest employment levels since 1999. So you are actually advising people to file for bankruptcy? Definitely. When you become bankrupt, they can't make you pay back all your debts. So your loans and debts just disappear into a black hole, leaving you free to start again. And what about the banks? Surely they would suffer great losses with this scheme. Of course. But if anyone can afford to take the hit, it's the banks, who are just sitting on years and years of profits with money mountains. So if anyone is going to suffer slightly from this economic plan, I don't want the man in the street to suffer. It's the fat wallets of the banks who will suffer. Now, critics will say this is another crowd-pleasing policy from the Liberal Democrats, which would never work in actual practice and probably will never be put into practice. The reason that other parties are criticising the policy is because it is superior to their own policy, which all warn of impending recessions due to the American financial markets, whereas this policy leaves the financial control in the hands of the British people, and in the hands will be credit cards. This will mean a dramatic change to a number of people. Are you aware of this? Well, actually, I believe you are wrong. Many people are currently spending wildly. Already, there are thousands becoming bankrupt each year. All I'm asking for is another 10% of people to become bankrupt,
and people to increase spending by 30%. If people focus on all the positives, think of all the extra holidays, TVs, cars, DVD players, nice clothes, which we will all own. The other plus is when people become bankrupt, those who are not will be able to buy their goods for knockdown prices.
Will you be implementing the policy yourself?
Indeed I will. And after looking at my finances this morning, I predict I will become bankrupt in 1.5 months' time.
Well, that's all we have time for. I hope you at home are comforted by the words of soon-to-be-bankrupt Shadow Minister of Finance for the Liberal Democrats, Mr. Nigel Hattersby. Good night.
The elephant says, here's a news nugget.
All right, today's they're talking about Capello in the Sun, and they're saying how harsh he is. And he says here that he's laid down the law and left the England stars quaking. Shit, what do you think he's done here then? You know what he's done? He's only gone and told them that lateness will not be tolerated, room service is banned, and mobile phones going to be used in bedrooms. Jesus, he is. That is, and also they go ahead like capital punishment. He goes on, players must eat together and dress smart, and they must wear team blazers when in public and at matches. Players will be called by their surname, and no wags, agents, are allowed to visit. Do you know what, all this, all those things have made it into what kind of camp do you think now? Yes, that's it, a military camp. Because military camps have swanky hotel rooms, don't they? Yeah. God. And then in the next page, you got back to school, spelled S-K-O-O-L for some reason. I'm not really sure why that. But it must be some kind of fantastic joke I'm not getting. And Campello is described as the headmaster. Well, I mean, goodness. I don't know how those poor players will be able to survive. You know, good enough being millionaires and training for a whole morning. And then when you finish all that hard work, you've got to call each other surnames and wear a blazer. And not allowed room service. God. I mean, where's it going to end? Poor bloody devils. We get the people who starve in the world. Our bloody top football players are being treated like school kids. It's an outrage. I'm bloody angry. Ugh. Right, I am back in the swing of the work gauntlet. The work, I know the swinging, but I can't think of anything that really swings with work. But I'm back in it and I'm swinging. Not in the sex sense where you go around and swap wives and stuff. I'm not doing that, especially at work. I work in a computer company, mainly men. You don't want to be swapping anything with them. Fabio Capello is about to give, sometime after 12, give his first kind of interviews, I don't know what they call it, news conference. And he's not there at the moment, so they just keep showing a picture of this empty chair. Like that's news. Look at it. He'll be there soon. But at the moment, it's just an empty chair. There's nothing interesting in it. It's not news. How can you report on news that... Today, report on the news that he is not sitting at that chair. And people are not attacking them. There is no war between England and France. And it certainly isn't lasting 50 years. I mean, that's, you can't start doing not news. It has to be news or nothing.
Oh, lady.
Yo, Depp, check out me comedy.
Went to the doctors today about my poorly ankle. Not ankle, it's heel. Like the great Achilles, I was dipped in the river Styx, held by the heel. Now that is a weakness of mine. So I went to the doctor, said, yeah, I think it's got an Achilles heel type injury. And he said, yes, it's tendonitis. I thought, ooh, doesn't sound very nice. For Achilles heel, could I have that instead? I said, all right. And he said, well, do you do much sport? And I went, a little bit. You know, like I go probably walking at lunch 4 times a week. Football a couple of times, taekwondo a couple of times. And, yeah, well, that's probably a little bit more than a little bit then, isn't it? Well, I suppose it is, yeah. Here's some people, I try and get them to get up from the couch just to change the telly, turn it off, walk down the street. I was like, all right. Okay, so what about this tendonitis then? How long does it, what's the damage? How long will I be injured for? I was hoping, maybe for like a couple of weeks, maybe a push a month or two. Then he said, well, it usually lasts between 12 and 36 months. Bloody hell. 36 months? Who thinks in 36 months? What are you, a finance package, for God's sake? Jesus. That's 3 years. Why don't you just tell me the years? These month bloody trying to trick me business. God, Lord. Well, how would we know then it's going to be one of the... Well, we don't know. We don't know how long it will last for. Well, what caused it? We don't know. Is there any treatment? We don't know. What? Do you mean? No, there's no real treatment. What? Well, What's the point in coming here then? So it's a random injury. All he said really is that you got to kind of manage it yourself and don't overdo the exercise. So if it's hurting, have a like the day off, whatever. So that's bloody bit rubbish. Damn that Achilles. See, in the bloody films, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't bloody out for 36 months, was he?
The bell tolls for some stand-up comedy.
Right, we got this story from a while ago. I always like the stories about kind of doctors having a feel of their patients' breasts and kind of getting away with it for ages until enough of these bloody idiots realise that, you know, fondling breasts when trying to cure something like a foot is not necessarily needed. But this one, it kind of even pushes taking it a step further almost. The story is, a dentist accused of fondling the breasts of 27 female patients is trying to keep his dental licence. Now, a doctor, you might better get away with that. A dentist fondling, this is the dentist, I've come to, paid him a tooth, right. Let's get the breasts out then. What? It's, chest massage, yeah. Helps with teeth. Is it? Well, you're the dentist. Yep, so he was doing this. He's trying to say, wasn't it? I wasn't just being a perv feeling their breasts. That is a chest massage and is appropriate procedure in certain cases. 27 of them? Mark, the dude's lawyer, says dental journals discuss the need to massage the pectoral muscles to treat a common jaw problem. Calm the fuck off it. Dude, you've been busted. Now just own up. You're not going to get away with saying that you had to massage all these women's breasts for jaw complaints. Come on. I do like the way these women, I don't know where they find them from. Where you find these women who let you touch their breasts just because you're a doctor. I mean, how do they go in with like a sore throat? Oh, hi doctor, yeah. He's got a sore throat. Right, let's give those breasts a massage. What? Well, you are the doctor, I suppose. You do know best. You learned this at medical school. Oh, okay then. I should take them out of the clothing? Yeah, oh yeah, good, okay. Naked if I want, if that's more comfortable. No, I'll be I'll be okay, I think. Well, what's that, doctor? You've got... That's a fleshy rod for it's measuring things. Oh, right. Okay. You need to measure my temperature. In where? What? In my fanny. Well, no, wait a minute. You're going too far now. Okay, I should put the fleshy measuring stick into my mouth. Oh, right. Okay. I can imagine them then sort of... They only seem to realise afterwards. Like they'll be back home telling their partner or their friend. Yes, and he put the fleshy measuring stick into my mouth. But it took quite a while for us to get a reading. Yes, but in the end he dispensed some soothing gel. Tasted a bit salty. And then like the mum will go, wait a minute, I think that might have been his penis. What? And he was massaging your breast for a sore throat? Well, I'm not sure if that's normal procedure, you know. He might have been a pervert. What? No, surely not. Do you think... Oh my goodness, I think I've been tricked again. Oh dear. Bloody hell. You trust those doctors and then they go and bloody sort of fill your breasts up. Oh, things are bloody... That's got me down, that has. Oh, I'm sure... Don't worry, love. I'm sure things will pick up. Oh, look, I've got an email. Ah, oh, I've won the lottery. Yay! How did he get? Right, you might better trick one woman in, I don't know, 50? One in two? But this bloke managed to get 27. A dentist with 27 patients. Come on, how long did it take them all to realise that every time they went to the dentist, he was having a feel of the breasts? I mean, though, to be honest, you think, you know, if a woman's got a headache or a sore knee or whatever, perhaps a jiggle of her breast probably would make her feel a bit better, wouldn't it? You know, His thoughts were in the right place. His hands were in the wrong place. Although, to be honest, if I went to the doctors with a sore knee and some sexy nurse started playing with my fleshy measuring stick, and I tell you what, it'd probably make me feel a whole lot better, and I'd soon forget about the knee. Oh, yeah. Or she could do some breast therapy on me, like waggling in my face or whatever. Tell you what, that would work. That would cure me a treat. Although I might then tend to probably be popping into the doctors a bit more often. I think they could probably save the NHS a lot of money. Now, they could give the patients... Now, you've got a sort of some disease. We can either take these pills for 6 months, which are very expensive to the NHS, or that big-breasted nurse can give you a quick wank. Come on, who's going to take the pills? You'd live with the pain for a while. It's not that bad after all. Perhaps he got away with... Well, it's in America, though, but you could imagine it happening in England now with the shortest of dentists. I mean, you'd be lucky if you could see one, let alone one to bloody grab your breasts.
There's something funny's going on here. Now, in honour of Grange Hill shutting down, I've dug out the Just Say No single, or classic, obviously. What I didn't realise, well, I didn't remember, is that this, at the start of the song, it goes on for about 30 seconds, has this little... saxophone bit, check it out. I'm guessing, like me, you've probably forgotten how, well, crap this song is. Just listen to the production values on this. You don't have to be. Just say no, indeed. There's a saying, if you're going to do something, do it right. Now that saying certainly doesn't apply to this song. Check out the rapping on this. Well, not rapping, it's just kind of singing, baby. Don't listen to anyone else. All you gotta do is be yourself. Powerful stuff. I was going to play more of it, but it's rubbish. And I was listening, thinking, this is boring. It's all weak, kind of women singing, boring, boring, boring. And then this came in, and I thought, come on. So what was it made you do it? You had no need. First a taste, then a craving, then it turned to greed. Calling me your main man, you didn't really understand. After all you did to me, expected to shake your hand. No. Now that is sublime. I mean, I thought John Barnes couldn't rap, but since I heard that, there is a new contender to the worst rap in the history of rapping. I mean, that is just beautiful. And I like the rest of the song. It's like they've given them too many words and they can't sing them quick enough. They can't fit them all in. Listen to this. Don't listen to anyone else. All you gotta do is be yourself. Then they just kind of keep just saying no until for another 30 seconds. I tell you what, that is pretty crap. I mean, God, that would make people go on to drugs, not stop them. They'd think, I'd need some drugs to listen to this whole song. It's that bad. You little gits. Get them, Bronson. Bloody, I mean, you wouldn't have any sympathy for them after this. I'd Bronson to wade in there and wig them to death. Just say no.
Scream if you want the comedy to go faster. Faster.
I just heard on the news that They're talking about underage boozing again. They seem to do a lot more boozing than we did. God, they've always been talked about when we were doing some underage boozing. It wasn't, they just put up with it, whatever. But I found that it's not illegal for underagers to booze. It's just illegal for them to buy it or enter a booze stablery, i.e. pub, nightclub. But if you, so they really can't get it unless they have an adult accomplice. If they get it, then they can just go out on the streets and have a few cans of booze, you know, perhaps keep the tramps company, you know, get out of our hair. I don't know what they're all complaining about, for goodness sake. A couple of boozes are probably pacify them a bit, chill them out, stop them attacking, stop them slapping each other with mobile phones or whatever, you know, a few drinks here and there. Obviously, what all my plan is, I'll just give them the really horrible shit, kind of horrible cheap booze you get from France, and when it's not cold, Jesus, tastes like a hangover. That's a fact for you. Thought I'd let you know, all right.
I'm picking up another sketch on the radar, sir.
Hi, my name is David Elmar Winterbottom, and I am a social scientist. And I will be wielding the power of social science. I will try to make your lives just a little bit easier by allowing you, the people, to understand the invisible social strings that control your actions and lives. And with this power, I will allow you to be the puppet master and not the puppet. So join me, and like Pinocchio, you'll free yourself from the string that control your actions. This week, I shall be giving you, the listeners, tools for dealing with the youth phenomenon that is known as the hoodie. The hoodie has become a symbol of evil, like the swastika of the Nazis and the shrunken heads of the Shi'ar, formerly known as the Jivaru, people of the present-day Ecuador and Peru, or the feared seagull, the mighty Breton, Hove Albion Football Club hooligan. That last one, of course, was a joke. There's nothing to be feared in Brighton. Now I will show to you, my listeners, that there is nothing to be feared from these hooded hooklums, because they are more afraid of you than you'll ever be of them. Just remember, they're hiding their faces because they're ashamed. They're ashamed of themselves, of what they've become, of what they are. And the only way to deal with these fellas is to show them you ain't afraid, that your heart is true and big, and that they are the ones who should be cowering from you. Now I'll do this by going and confronted some of these hooded hooglums. Let's go out to the streets and show them that I ain't no afraid of no hooded little boy. Because that's all they are inside, hooded little boys. Now I'm outside of school, and I got a picture here. I got a picture. It's a real good one. It's of an 86-year-old lady. And she got beaten up by some of these hooded hooglums. They beat her up and they filmed it on their phone. Now I've got a picture of this lady with two black eyes and a smashed in nose. She's looking all beat up. Now I'm gonna find one of these hoodies and I'm gonna show him just what being a hoodie's cost this poor old lady. And we'll see what he says then. I reckon he may just renounce that there hoodie there and then. Right, now we just gotta wait for a hoodie. Any minute now, there'll be a hoodie coming along. Hey, wake up, one! You, boy! Come here! You, boy!
What do you want?
Come here, boy! Hey, now, boy! I see you got a hood.
Yeah, well spotted.
Are you one of them there hoodies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a feeling you might be.
It's because I had a hood, you...
You look like a hoodie.
It's because I got a hood, you bloody twat.
Well, that is why I picked you. You did have a hood up.
What do you mean, pick me? What are you, a pervert?
That's how we know you're a hoodie. Because you've got a hood.
Well spotted, Grandad.
Now look at this picture, boy. What do you see, boy?
An old lady. Is that your girlfriend? She's a bit old, isn't she? She's about 80.
No, she,
She ain't my girlfriend.
Granny Shagger, Granny Shagger, Granny Shagger.
No, my girlfriend is young. She's small with fine titties. I ain't no Granny Shagger.
Granny Shagger, Granny Shagger.
Shut it. Shut it, you old shit.
Quiet, Granny Shagger. I'll tell someone.
Let your kind terrifying old ladies, beating old ladies, and videoing it on your phone, you dirty mother. What do you say to that?
Oh, it's better than shagging grannies and video on your phone, you dirty old pervert.
Oh, see, you hoodies, you just can't be reasoned with. Go on, get out of here, before I call the cops on you. I'm gonna wait for another hoodie hooglum, because that one was no reasoning with that boy. He was bad to the bone. Okay, I see one coming now. You boy, come here!
What do you want, you nutter? Don't bomb me!
Look at this picture, boy, look at it!
What is it?
Is this what you want? Would you want your granny to be like this, boy?
No, I'm not. I'm not a hoodie. My mum gave me this. It said it would stop me getting bullied.
Hey, I ain't no hooglum.
Get off me, you bully.
I'm just trying to reason with you, boy.
You're hurting me, you pedo.
Don't you give me no back chat.
You're a pedo. Help. Help me.
Hey, shut it.
Help, pedo.
I ain't no pedo, boy. Shut your mouth. Shut your dirty mouth, boy.
Why are you picking on me? What do you want?
Get out of here. I'm getting out of here.
Ah, you hurt me. You're punching me.
He's falling.
Get off
go.
Me.
Let's go. Shut it, you moron.
Help, I'm being attacked by this pedo. Help me. Stop him. He's running away.
Right, I'm now around the corner. What I think I've shown this week is just stay away from them hoodies. They're bad, I tell you. There ain't no good. You can't save them. You better try and save someone else, like yourselves. And that's the end of this week's social science experiment. I'll see you next week, unless I get arrested.
Comedy! Coming next.
Went into my garden today and looked in the pond with my little fishes who, for those of you who don't know, fish hibernate in the winter. So they all go to the kind of corner and just lay about. And I saw this kind of fish and thought, what's that? And it's weird looking. It looked odd. And it's like, what? It's got a leg. Whoa. It's got two legs. Three. Four legs. What the? Fish. What? And then I noticed that one of its toes are like moving, like twitching. It's like, whoa. And then, closer inspection, it's two frogs going at it in my pond. The dirty bastards. Well, I don't know. The fish didn't know which way to look. Looking at that filth. Goodness sake. Bloody frogs, eh? Can't take them anywhere.
Wakey wakey, you've got some comedy to listen to, sunshine. Okay, I've actually got a real life listener, well, a virtual listener, J to the P to the Russell, and he sent me something in. The only person who isn't my friend who did it. So, let's include it. He saw this thing called a virtual haircut and said, Hosky, try this out, my lad. So I said, oh, I will. And I did. And it looked bloody lovely. And then I borrowed it from the website http://bwecentral1word.com not one word .com, it's bwcentral.com/blog, and on here is virtual haircut. Right, and here is the clip. God, I'm such a good segue meister. Genius.
Hello there, hello there. How are you? Yes, yes. You are here for the virtual haircut? Yes, yes, okay. I will go get Luigi. He will come and cut your hair. I am Manuel. Just stay right there. Luigi? Luigi?
Luigi? It's Manuel here. The person is here for your virtual haircut. You better come up.
Grazie, Manuel. I come right now.
Okay. He is coming up right now, and meanwhile, I will go over here and play the music, play the guitar, because that is what I do here at the barber shop.
Ah, it's so nice to see you. Welcome to the Starkey Cetera Barbershop and your virtual haircut. I'd like to start the demonstration by moving over to your right-hand side and picking up this bag. If you just hold still for a second. I'll put this bag over your head. Just like that. The bag over the top of the head. And now I'll take the bag off. There we go. The only reason I did that is because all of the fancy barbershops do that. What you're listening to as I move off to your right here and very quickly wash my hands. Manuel, could you get that, please?
Yes,
over there. Ah, thank you, Manuel. Let me finish washing my hands here. Just bear with me for a few more seconds. Ah, there we go. Ah, yes. As I was saying, all we are doing is using your head as the listening point. And we have two microphones, one on either side of the head, in the same position as where your left and your right ears are. Your brain is doing all of the work, telling you where the sounds are coming from. Okay, I'll go get the scissors. Hold on. Ah, yes, nice and sharp. Now, as I begin the clipping, and I bring the clippers closer to your ear, very close to the right ear, follow me as I move around the back of the head, to the left ear, and up and over the top of the head. Okay. Now, you can get the same effect better with the electric razor. I'll first bring it close to your right ear. Just a perfect, and around the back, and onto your left. Ah, there. I think that looks wonderful. Manuel, what do you think?
Huh? What? Oh, yes. Yes, it looks wonderful, Luigi. You do such nice work.
Ah, thank you so much, Manuel.
So fast, too.
Now, as I walk around, I just want to tell you once more that your ability to hear where I am as I walk around the room is simply the amazing power of your brain, calculating the tiny differences or cues in sound intensity and arrival time from two open ears. And unlike any other hearing instrument, only one has the digital algorithm that negates its own physical presence in the ear to fully restore those differences. That algorithm is called Cetera. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for stopping by the Starkey Virtual Barbershop. Goodbye and arrivederci.
Well, that was a bit freaky, man. Well done, JP, for sniffing that one out. But, weird. Right, and talking of weird, here is another sketch from me, which is always weird, obviously.
Right, I'm going to do this. It's, I wrote, in about 2 minutes, a really rubbish sketch about Grange Hill, inspired by Grange Hill. It is cack, but I've written it, so I'm going to do it. Take that. And party. It's between... Well, let's do this. Oh, it's all windy. Stop it. Wind, go away. That's not it, by the way. I haven't started yet. I'm going to have to put this at the end, I think, because it's going to be crap and windy. Nice combo.
Hey, all right there, Tucker.
Hello, Roland. From Grange Hill. How are you, old Roly Browning? My old mucker. I haven't seen you for ages.
I haven't seen you since the Grange Hill days. You've grown up a bit since then.
Yeah, well, you know, I was a mere boy then. Now I'm a fine, strapping man in such classic sitcoms. Oh, not a sitcom, but it is funny as well as informative, gritty and realistic, The Bill. And look at you, all fat and bald. You're like a skinhead. Oh, a lot different from how I remember you at school in the Grange Hill days.
Actually, Tucker, I've been meaning to tell you, my name isn't Roland, it's Erkin Mustafa.
What? Erkan? Well, I've been calling you Roland for years, why didn't you tell me? Anyway, I know it's not your real name, Roly, but the thing is, you look like a Roland, so that's what we're going to call you. Anyway, my name isn't Tucker.
Yeah, I know, it's Mark Fowler.
No, Roland, It's Todd Carty.
Yes, it's a bit of a shock to see you. I thought I saw you dying of AIDS the other day on TV.
That was just acting in one of my greatest parts, I believe. I wasn't gay, though. I got it. I don't remember how I got the AIDS, but I was shagging women and stuff. I wasn't gay, all right? And don't go telling anyone I was. What have you been up to recently? I haven't seen you in the old goggle box for a while.
Well, I was in Chef, and then I was in The Bill.
You were in The Bill? What? I'm in The Bill. I don't remember seeing you. What were you, a detective or just a general copper like me? A good old plod.
Well, I was actually a special role. They said it was written for me. It's called Inquest Jury Member, and it was in 2005, a one-off special.
2005. Yeah, I remember. You came in and ate all the sandwiches. I was bloody pissed off about that. Well, I mean, it's tough for me to remember, actually. I've been in so many things since Grange Hill. Rushed off my feet, almost. You may have seen me in such things as The Bill, EastEnders, Tucker's Adventures.
Have you been in anything apart from soaps?
Yes, actually. I was in Krull in 1983. You've probably heard of it. It's a fantastic film. One of the best films about flying starfishes I think you'll ever see.
What the hell is Krull?
What? You're not Krull? Krull is? Jesus, everyone knows that. That's a lot of people, that's their favourite film, Roland. Just keep your eye on the ball, will you? I mean, Krull is probably one of the best adventure films ever produced, where the hero defeats the baddie using this starfish boomerang thing. And I was brilliant, and I played Ossawin. Of course, I retired from films after that, because I knew I couldn't do any better.
Yeah, me too. Actually, I retired from sort of acting after Grange Hill, only coming back for special roles.
Retired, eh? Or did you go on a long holiday because they weren't actually calling you? That is some fucking good writing there. See how funny that was.
Oh, well, my agent said I was so convincing as a chubby schoolboy that got bullied, I got typecast. And as I got older, it was harder to play the chubby schoolboy who got bullied. Especially when I became bald and my hair fell out. There's not many chubby, bald schoolboys who get bullied, unless maybe they've got having chemo. But those roles are pretty hard to come by, and I got bitten to the last one.
Ah, very boring. Now more about me, hey? Wasn't I good in Grange Hill? God, did you hear about Grange Hill? They're shutting it down. Shutting the old boy down.
No way! Well, I suppose all that drug trouble with Zemo and Bronson's died. Probably just gotta shut it down. Well, I suppose at least we'll be on some Channel 4 things about Grange Hill. Bring it back with that fat Justin Lee Collins. I like him. He's fat like me.
Yeah, well, they said they're shutting it down because it's no longer relevant to young kids.
How could schools not be relevant? I thought they were just shutting it down because it was crap.
Well, it certainly wasn't a Krull, that's for sure. God, I love Krull. I was brilliant in it. Right, that's me, Todd Carty, signing off. Don't forget to watch me in Krull and The Bill. But The Bill's good, not as good as Krull, because that's a proper film. Right, well, there you go. That sketch was... Probably a lot of you were saying that was terrible. Yes, it was terribly funny. And if you didn't laugh or think it was funny, then your brain's gone in wrong, and it's all wonky. And you should get it rearranged by a doctor quick before it becomes bad. Bad and soft, like an apple left in your work's drawer for Christmas, and you come back and it's all... What's all that? Okay.
Right, that's the end of another podcast, or Hosscast as I call them. It's a bit of a long one again this week because, well, those dodgy sketches, really. They were a bit dodgy. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. And we're going to finish with the fuck-ups, and we have a little bit of pub talk for you. It's been away for a while, but he's back again.
Good Lord. Trying to trick me, business.
Good Lord.
Punches the shark on the nose. All your buddies are fleeing whilst you're handcuffed to a post. One good thing, Crofty. She sorted it out. Lovely jubbly. Thoroughly enjoyed his drunken night out, despite losing his trousers. There are two of my rules. I live or with some lunatic fishermen. I'm bloody angry. Ugh. You know what? I'm still always... porn pocket, bally, bird. For the dentist one, don't let anyone handcuff you to a post and make sure you wear clean underwear. So don't, next time you see a windscreen wiper, you just give him the thumbs up, alright? Because he might save your life one day. This was he.
Good Lord.
This was he. I was dipped in the river Styx.
Good Lord. Good Lord.
You know what? Out for 36 months, was he? One of his... to do his...
Hello and welcome to a Hosscast. I've got another vote on Dig this week.
9 votes now. Woo! Tremendous. Who'd have thought I'd ever get to this high mountain? That's right. It's going straight in the fuck up because it's a load of bullshit. Who'd ever thought to get this high mountain? Who do I think I am? Rocky Balboa? You doing your... Well, some people will inevitably... Fuck. God damn it. Definitely. You will become bankrupt. They can't make you pay back all your loans and debts. Oh, fucking, what the hell's that?
This happened to you.
Yeah.
What happens if you get arrested? That's me.
They couldn't wait until you get arrested.
Then you got. Then they. If you. They can give you a blood test if you refuse. So if you refuse to wee.
If you won't. Somebody's leaving, dude.
Can't make me!
What? We're not. They let some of them go through a red light.
When you get there,
in the middle of Leicester.
Yeah, we're
Dutchman.
So why would you want to
they
do that? Yes, I'm definitely over. Oh shit! Right, it. I've turned against myself. But they're not going to. Why are they going to wait 20 minutes?
Yeah, but they're going to
have they can't get an accurate reading on the breath lines if you've had a drink in the last 20 minutes. Sit on your breath.
Or why don't you just do what they did in... No, in... with Nal and I, where he had a liquid bottle of children's piss. And he gave us the sample, yeah.
Yeah. Right. You've got one with you.
Just I'm rising up to the copper. That'll probably win the day.
It wouldn't be a good.
And make the noise as well.
Rising up a cup.
He's recording them again.
Yeah, I just assume he's recording.
What you'd better do?
Every time
you push in the bottle before you go drinking.
He's recording us on Friday.
So it's yours. Yeah. And so it's yours.
Yes, I'm really right.
Just they'd be genuine. They couldn't get your DNA evidence for you. You see, you've just got to take the idea. 2007, you gave the DNA sample.
What's this here, mate?
I'm moving. Dude, it's valuable material. It's fucking,
See, there was a chap down the golf club, an old guy, I think he's passed away now. And, he got stuck, and he was always arsehole. The big nose and the
red face. Yeah. That's the sign.
And the red and everything. Somebody had told him, when you're blowing it, if you can't suck it through the side. And somebody had told him all this, and he tried that. And he passed the breath. And I said, no, you'll have to blow in again. I said, I was all fussed out. And he played the old man card. And so they said, all right, carry on. So he turned around to go in his hair, so fell off the stairs.
I've had some
trees. Hold on.
A folk.
Has anybody got a silver Shatter States?
There's a little fairy in the garden.
No. Nobody's got one.
Okay.
All right. Bye.